Yo folks, this is Perttu from Apocalyptica, your favorite cello metal band from Finland, and you're watching CMS TV.
Turn it up. You're listening to Live and Loud with the Lord, Nelson, that is.
Gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, once again, you know who it is. It's the big guy with the big show, the Lord. Yeah, Nelson, that is. Hi, we're in the podcast Live and Loud with the Lord on the CMS Network with Five Royals Entertainment. And ladies and gentlemen, I have another special guest. You know, he's there with the Ray-Bans, the flight glasses on, just like I told him, man. You know, he's coming in hot, man. He's about to land this plane, man. But we can see his coolness, and we're going to have a good time. And as always, I like to read a little something about him, you know, how I feel about him, my perspective. And if you don't mind, I will go into it just like this. Ladies and gentlemen, I have once again been introduced to another amazing musician and singer who brings forth magnificent musicianship, sensational sonics, and vocals that bounce from melodic to heavy with a delivery that is so criminally clean, it can't be ignored. The writing of the rhythm on all the songs of his latest release, Disillusion, brings a smile to my face, and the guitars have such a classic, yet right now feel that you can't help but rock the fuck out to. Yes. So these songs are swimming in so many elements that they take me back, but still keep me centered with choruses I can hear and see the fans singing. I am honored to have this young man roll up with the top down, with the volume on blast, ready to engage in an amazing conversation with me. So without further ado, I welcome for you to the Live and Loud with the Lord show, Mr. Eddie. Come on, man. Sir Edwin the Swift. Traeger. Did I say Traeger right? Is it right, Traeger?
Yeah, that's correct. That's Traeger. Correct.
Front man for the awesome band, Take and Take, man. Thank you so much for being here. Man, I'm excited, man. I'm excited about all my guests, man, but I'm ready to roll into this, man. We're going to have a good time, man. So my first question always is, where are you from, young man?
I'm from Los Angeles area. Grew up in, like, Pasadena area.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So what's the best thing about being from Pasadena?
Oh, you know, best thing about being from Pasadena, you know, Dina life is good. It's good out here. I mean, it's like LA, but it's not like the intense downtown kind of part of LA that sucks, you know. So you can like go to LA and do all the things that LA has to offer, but you can come back out here and like the mountains are right behind us. Yeah. And it's like a little chiller, you know.
Right.
San Gabriel Valley, you know.
Yeah, indeed. So as a kid, a preteen, what was Eddie into, and do you have any siblings?
Oh, yeah. As a preteen, what was I into? I just like listened to the Beatles basically. Okay. And like the Rolling Stones. And like, I had like just heard Weezer at that point. Yeah. that was kind of where it was at. I do have a brother and a sister, but I'm the oldest.
You're the oldest. Okay.
Yeah.
So, are your siblings into music? And if so, have they pursued music as greatly as you have?
Yeah, they play music. Both of them are quite good pianists, actually. Really? Mm-hmm. And my brother did classical guitar growing up, and that's how I started playing guitar. Because he had a classical guitar, and then he got an electric guitar, and I just messed around on the electric guitar.
Right.
Because I'm trained in percussion. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so were you blessed to have parents or a parent? Because, you know, I don't like to... A parent that saw the talent in you early?
I mean, I sucked early. I wasn't any good early, but, you know, they felt that music was an important part of, you know, growing up as education. And my mom's a pianist as well. And
okay, yeah.
He was... My grandparents like really pushed for my mom and her siblings to like play an instrument and
love.
So it just, yeah, that side of that whole side of the family, like basically everyone plays something.
Music. Everybody's musically inclined. That's beautiful. Yeah. Man.
All the cousins, all the aunts and uncles, everybody plays something.
Indeed. Well, so that being said, so what was the music or genre of choice for your parents? And do you feel you were inspired by what they enjoyed?
Oh, yeah. So they did. They just essentially listened to classical music.
Okay, classical.
Yeah. That was it. So, like, in the car, it was always classical. It was always, like, KUSC on the radio. Like, that's all we were ever listening to on
really?
The radio. Yeah, that was it.
Wow.
And then, you know, the Beatles... I had like Beatles tapes, but like we never turned on like the classic rock station type of thing. It was all like coming from me just because, you know, my mom really loved the Beatles, as did my dad. And so like I had a Beatles tape and like a Michael Jackson tape and like that was kind of it growing up. Yeah.
Okay. So you're higher learning educated in music. What was it about having an education in music that called you to it?
Yeah. And I felt like, you know, I grew up doing drums and percussion.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Pasadena Conservatory of Music here.
It's a high school.
Quite good. It's just a conservatory. So you go there to take lessons.
Yeah. Okay, I got you. Okay.
So that's where I did like I just studied like classical percussion and then you know, I developed an interest in like popular music and metal and stuff like in high school. And,
right.
But my education was always like more classical focused.
Right.
And even in college, you know, I played in the orchestra and I did a jazz combo, but I never took lessons with like a proper metal drum set guy.
Right. Well, see, you just remind me of my brother, Eric Sanders. He is just, you know, he's played on, some of the Stuck Mojo stuff that I was on. And he's just like you, where he went to school, he went to Penn State and he's an amazing drummer, man. So when you say that, and I understand clearly what you're saying and going through because, you know, he plays other stuff too, but he was trained in a certain, element of drumming and percussion. So, no, that's love, man. It really is. So what song or band first captured your attention that led you to where you are today?
What song or band? Like, in terms of, like, take and take stuff, like that aspect of things, like I got into early on, I got into like In Flames and the first Just Erase Black Ash Inheritance, that CD it's like their first one almost. I think it's their first one. That was what really got me into like the melodic death metal side of things,
gotcha.
Along with like Lamb of God was in there and like Children of Bodom.
Mm-hmm.
That all came after like I had discovered like Metallica and System of a Down and stuff. But in terms of like the melodic death metal side of things, that's that kind of is where that came from. I don't know if I could really pinpoint a single song.
Yeah.
But those, definitely those bands, and like System of a Down especially, it was just okay. Like, they just rule. It's best.
Yeah, I didn't know whether it was a band or a song that really just grabbed you. And so, you know how certain people say, like, hey, man, this took me there. So that's why I asked that question. But nah, great answer, though. I love it. All of those are great bands, most definitely. So what was the first? I'm sorry.
Sorry. All my friends, like, really push, like we're big Tool fans as Tool. Well. And it took me a minute to, like, hop on the Tool train.
Right.
But it was like a year of, like, them being like, Tool's the best. They're so good. I'm like, get it. And then I finally, like, after a year, I got it. And, like, the Mars Volta, too. Oh, okay. I got a good answer. A real answer to that question was, I went to a show of this band called the Icarus Line.
Okay.
You ever hear that band?
No, go ahead.
They were like, it must have been like 2003 or 2 or something. Just like an LA rock band that was crazy. And I saw them at the Troubadour and I was like 14 years old. And it just like blew my mind. It was insane. They're one of the craziest bands live at that time.
Right.
So yeah, I put it there.
Icarus Line.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. Seeing that, like, when your friends were into Tool and you were like, you know, it took you a minute to come around. Do you think that was because of your upbringing and how you were educated musically? Do you think that, you know, being educated how you were, did it put you in a box in a sense?
Possible. It's possible. I still find it about myself that it, like, I'm always late to the party. You know, like, people are like always like, this band is really good or this project's really good. And then like 2 years or 10 years later, I'm like, hey, that album's really good.
I feel you.
I don't know. I just like, I try to be a little, I don't know. Maybe it was that I grew up like pretty, you know, milquetoast classical.
Right. I got you. But, I say that because I have some friends who went to school for music also. One guy, I always talk about him all the time. He's a major jazz enthusiast, and his father was also, his parents loved jazz also. And I always call him he's a snob. I said, you are definitely a jazz snob. You know, everything else is crazy to him, even though he's so talented, he can do all the other stuff. But he feels that way that, I've been taught this so much. This is what I believe it is. So it was hard for him to come outside that box sometimes. He'd peep his head over the, you know, the fence, but, you know, he'd duck back in. So, So what was the first band you played in?
First band I played in?
Mm-hmm.
My high school band was called FOMA.
FOMA?
FOMA, yeah. And, you know, we tried. it was a good, you know, first band experience, you know, we did, it was a high school band, you know?
Okay.
I didn't play in like more bands until college.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. So first band was FOMA. We did just like rock stuff and like all my buddies love Tool. So, you know, we kind of veered a little bit towards like Tool angle, but like, I sucked at the drums. Like, I was not good. Like, I could not do like Tool style stuff. So,
wouldn't know that.
Yeah.
Really wouldn't know that. No, I mean, you worked at it. You got it right, you know? So, I'm sorry.
I feel like I didn't really come into my own with drumming until like college.
I got you. Like,
high school, I would not. And early college, I would not put myself in there as a passable drummer.
well, you know, everybody grows at different rates, you know, and we get it at different times in our lives. So that was just your time, a part of your journey. So that's a beautiful thing, man. So it's obvious to me you have that Prince gene. And when I say that, you play a lot of different instruments, you know, looking at your videos and everything. So how many different instruments do you play and which is your favorite?
So I do like all the percussion stuff I can still play. I mean, I haven't done like proper classical music or like a lot of like reading for mallet instruments in a long, long time. But I did study like marimba and xylophone and glockenspiel and like all the stuff you see at the back of an orchestra.
Right.
I could play guitar and bass. Singing, I would say I'm a singer last. Just I have no training at all. And I just, you know, I just try. But, and then like piano, I can like make chords and like, you know, tinkle the keys, but I'm not by any means a keyboardist, I would say. But I know, like, you know, studying music, I know enough theory to kind of make things right. I can make the chord shapes happen.
Right. Well, you know, you're selling yourself short with all the pianists in your family. It's there. It's right under the surface.
No, yeah. If I put in the time, I'd get back into it. Like, I think the peak of my piano playing was in college as well. They required 2 years of piano at music degree at UC Santa Barbara. And for the final, I played Fearless, Beethoven.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah.
The whole thing.
Right.
And not perfectly, but I did play it.
Did well.
And then immediately forgot.
Awesome, man. Listen, so I want to go into this a little bit. And help me if I get this name wrong or right, or, you know, you'll correct me. Necrogoblicon?
Oh, yeah.
How did you guys link up, and what was that experience like? Seemed like there was something else there, man.
Yeah. That been joined in 2009, I guess. No, 2007, sorry.
Okay.
2007. And that was just college guys. So freshman year of college, I had a band that was a metalcore band with Alex, who's the current guitarist of Necro. And we did like a metalcore project and recorded an EP. And long story short, the laptop got stolen. EP's gone forever. Never heard it. We were just like, band broke up.
Really?
we were just like demoralized, just like stopped.
Listen, that's probably one of the most unique stories of how a band breaks.
We were just like so sad, and we were just like and then like Alex joined Necrogoblicon, and I joined like 6 months later on drums.
Man, that is wild.
Yeah, and it was a good time. It was a good time until it wasn't, you know?
Hey, that's very interesting, though. No. Now, I wasn't expecting that because, you know, I was going, so why did you venture out on your own? Lets it be known, man. That's wild. So do you feel you have any elements from Necro, as you shortened it up, that makes it a lot easier, Necro, in your music today?
Yeah, like unavoidably so, I would say. Like a lot of formative, you know, music making years. I mean, I was in the band for 9 years.
Right.
I learned a lot. Like that's where I learned, you know, everything I know about, like, where that's where I really honed like being a composer and, you know, a performer and learning about music production and stuff, like, was all during my time in that band.
Right.
And then when in 2016, when I got kicked, it was kind of like some of the music from Take and Take was kind of like a fuck you. Like, I can do this. I don't need any of you people.
Right.
Feeling
yes.
like when I started writing it. So, yeah. Unavoidably, yes.
So, what is your writing process like for production and lyrics?
Depends on the project, but with Take and Take, all the music came first.
Okay.
And the lyrics came after, sort of like fit to the music. And actually long after. Like when I wrote the music, like I didn't have lyrics. That was like a problem I had, and I was cognizant of, like, it was like the only thing I have to say is notes right now. Like I don't have the words to like put to this. So it took a while. And it was like not until like 2020 that I really started doing the lyrics for the album. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Lockdown 2020.
Indeed. That's true. That's true. It's a date. So how difficult or easy is it for you to travel from heavy to melodic, or is it just a small thing to a giant, as I like to say?
Oh, no, no problem at all.
Not at all.
Switch in a second. Yeah.
Really?
No, yeah.
That speaks to your talent, my brother. Indeed. And you do it very well.
Or just like in general?
Say again?
You mean vocally or in general?
Yeah, vocally. Yeah, I'm talking straight vocally. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it can be, it's pretty fast. So I do the death growls.
Right.
I do those breathing inwards. So it's just, I just need that little switch of time to be able to like bring it in.
Yeah.
To like shape my throat and bring it in.
Wow.
I can't do it like, so that's the problem with doing that technique is like guys who do like a more traditional style death growl will be able to like smoothly transition and like give a build right between like the singing, the clean singing and like the death growl.
Right.
Where I need to like, it like switch, have like a second of switch time.
Right.
Because the breath is going in a different
direction. I got you. But that's still amazing to me because listening to the album, I think that you do it in a way that it eases me right into it. And I know I say I'm going to ask that here, but it eases me right into it. So even though you have that little change you're speaking of, see, me as the person that's just listening to the music, you know it. But I'm thinking that the transition is amazing. I think that all of your transitions are amazing. And as I say, man, so many questions, man, because I was just like really enjoying the album. So, you know what I'm saying? That much. Right. So, and then we'll get into, well, let me ask you this question first. So are you a fan of guitar rock?
Guitar rock?
Yes.
Like
just instrumental guitar playing and just, you know.
Sometimes. I don't really go for like the G3 shredders.
Right.
If that's what you mean. I mean, it's good. I mean, they're amazing.
Yeah.
Instrumental stuff.
Well, you know, I'm asking you that because certain songs, you have a couple of songs in there. There's certain parts in there. I can't speak to how it might make other people feel because I got my brother that played with me in Stuck Mojo, also Mike Martin, and he has like a song 2 of 5 on his album 2 of 5. And it just takes me back like to the 70s of when I was a young kid. And I'm like, it's amazing to me. So you have certain elements at times in there. That's what I was saying of that music that grabs me. Yeah. And I'm just like, I was like, this Eddie is killing it. And Jen, going back to the fact that it's just you. I mean, it just had me. I'm telling you, you grabbed me like this. And I was just like, I love this. I love it.
Nice, man. Yeah, no, the definite big influence. Like, I went through a big phase of, like, got super into, like, Hendrix and The Doors and, like, all Led Zeppelin and all that stuff. Like, that stuff is a huge influence on me. Like, Deep Purple is one of my early favorite bands.
Right.
Like, even as a preteen, I would say.
Yeah.
Like, they go back that far. For me, of course. And so, yeah, that stuff is a huge influence on me. And like, I'm not really like a guitar shredder, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's a second, it's, you know, I got it. I don't have any training. I just figured it out and watched my brother play guitar, right? And so I'm not really a shredder. So like, when I do leads or something, it kind of I take a lot of influence from that era.
Got you.
Of like trying to be like a little more melodic and like bluesy with it a lot of the time. So,
hey man, yeah. Listen, I'm just telling you, I appreciate it. It's a great thing to me. I really enjoyed it. And I'm not just saying that because you're on the show. Just like I say, I always like to tell all my guests, I like to sit with your music. I like to really listen to it. I want to get into it, kind of see where your mind may be and just what it does to me. And we might be on a totally different page of what it is, but I know what it means to me. So I truly enjoyed it. So it kind of, not kind of, it segues into this. I love your orchestration. The flow is incredible, and the changes, bow, ease me right into the next musical element. Like I was just speaking, I'm looking down, I was just like, hey, this is what, I love when we go do this right here. I love when it goes right into it. So where does your tremendous timing come from? Because I really believe that you have tremendous timing switching and going from this to that, and it's just all on point.
Yeah, I mean, that's just comes with like a lot of time, I guess, mm-hmm. of trying to write different things. I have, right. I have stuff that like, you know, I tried a lot of stuff out and didn't finish it. You know, okay. There's like tons and tons and tons of songs that are just like sit there that I'm probably not going to use ever.
I understand.
That's how it goes. Right. But, that's one thing I paid a lot of attention to purposefully. On the, you know, with this album was like the transitional stuff, like you were saying, like both vocally and instrumentally.
Yes.
That's like a big focus. Like it always annoys me when it doesn't sound right. Gotcha. It just annoys me. I just can't let it happen. Or like, and like transitional stuff is so important. It's so like, tension and release, right? Mm-hmm. You're trying to create that tension and release, or like at least like a surprise,
yes,
or something, right? Something interesting. And a lot of it comes from those transitional moments. So I that's just something I focus on, I guess.
Right. I know. Great job doing it. Once again, I enjoyed that. I was waiting for like, what's he gonna do next? What's coming next. Here? And oh, yeah. You have like certain sonics in there that just, you know, whatever sound it is, it just hit me. I could just hear it. I was just like, man, this guy right here, you know, this is what I say, you know, so many elements that are in there. And you did a great job of melding all those together. You know, it doesn't sound like this shouldn't be there. Everything seems to be in its place, in its pocket, just sitting there beautifully. And I'm telling you, man, I enjoyed it, man. I'm just telling you, I had a great time with this, really. So what's more satisfying to you, producing or performing?
Both. It's hard to choose one. Mm-hmm. Different kinds of satisfaction. Like, I mean, I do love producing, like just coming from being like a Beatles fan first. Right. Like they were so about the production and yes. just kind of by necessity. It's so fun. It's so good to do. But like, in terms of like, you're never going to get the same type of thing from like, producing an album versus like playing to a crowd that's like super into it, you know, like it's different feelings. And I do enjoy both, producing, it's a struggle at times,
mm-hmm.
right? Like there's the moments of inspiration. Sometimes things flow. And some things with producing are just hard and it's just a slog and you just kind of push through it.
Right.
Whereas with live performance, like if you're prepped and ready, it's all flow.
Gotcha.
Right.
Yes,
so, I mean, different challenges, but I do like both.
Yeah. There's no doubt. Like when you're on stage and everybody knows your song and they're singing with you and that vibe, that energy is just something special and different, man. It's
Yeah.
I understand.
And it could be a big show or a small show. Like
right.
you can get that feeling.
Yes.
Anywhere. Right?
I love an intimate show. I love an intimate show where you can touch the people and they're right there with you. And, you know, you just feel that energy, man. It's amazing.
Yep.
I don't know. Maybe I want you to think a little bit about this one, but maybe you just know right off. What song have you created, or have you created a song that would be the total embodiment of who you are?
Oh. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no. I have not. Right. I have, I have like really disparate interests, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And so like all of the projects that I've done so far kind of take different angles, mm-hmm. I would say, on who I am. I mean, Disillusion as an album is pretty the closest thing as like the full album, okay. I would say. But on the other side, like, I'd have this project, Eddie Spaghetti and the Selfish Bitches, and it's just like the opposite of take and take, like, right. process wise. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think about that music. I just do it.
You just play, right?
That's just like doing vibing music. Mm-hmm. Take and take is very like thinking crafted music. So,
right.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's, you know, what do you say? Eddie, say that again. What's
Eddie Spaghetti and the Selfish Bitches.
Eddie Spaghetti and the Selfish Bitches. Well, maybe that's something that you created to where you could just be totally free and not.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Because I was in, when I first did the first album of. For that project, I was a Necrogoblicon, mm-hmm. and it wasn't like at that point, it was kind of like not good times
mm-hmm.
already.
Gotcha.
You know, mm-hmm. That's just what happens sometimes.
And
Necrogoblicon is the same way, where it's very everything's thought over, every note is placed, and gone over 100 times.
Gotcha.
And so the Eddie Spaghetti project was like, I'm just going to go do it and not think about it.
Well, that once again, that speaks to you being a creative and being a creative to have that, a platform where you can just do what you want to do is a great thing, man. Freedom is a great freedom. It's a great thing, man.
Yeah. So, yeah.
From when you started to where you are now, how much do you feel you've grown lyrically and musically?
Oh, I mean, incredible amount.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, in terms of the Disillusioned album, it was like a full 8 years since I started doing the music. I mean, some of the riffs even came earlier, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
2016, you know, was the first riffs. It's the first notes. So I changed a lot as a person. And this musically and lyrically, I have changed, I mean, an incredible amount. I've listened back to some old stuff that I wrote like, you know, 15 years ago or something. And it sounds like me, I guess.
Right.
But like, I don't know if I could write it now, you know, it's like quite different.
Yeah.
And lyrically, I'm like a vocalist last kind of, mm-hmm. in terms of my experience with it. And lyrically, especially, I always felt like lyrics were really hard for me to write. Yeah, really hard. Like,
mm-hmm.
But I've become more used to crafting a song lyrically in the past. Like three, four years, I would say, I've gotten a little better. Yeah.
Hey, listen, my brother, you're handling business. You know, you wouldn't know it. You really have. You come that, you know, where you come from to here, man. But you're doing a great job, definitely. So now we get into Disillusion, which is out right now. And I want to say 11 amazing songs that fully displays your talents and passion for music. So what does this album really mean to you?
Yeah. I mean, this album means a lot to me. This is the thing I've worked hardest for in my life. Nothing comes close. It is a cathartic experience that I needed, absolutely needed to get out there to survive as a person. Like I, you know, I needed to get these feelings and thoughts out of me in order to move forward as a person. So it's incredibly meaningful. Like, I don't know what else to say. It's like,
oh, man, listen, I just want your honesty about, you know, because this is all about you, my brother. You know, I want you to be honest. I want you to talk about anything that you want to talk about. Just let it go, man. This is a safe place, you know? You know, if I need to come and slap somebody for you, I will. It's all beautiful, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's like, and it was all for me, right? It was a focus of, you know, for my person, I had to do it, and it wasn't for other people. And I'm very happy when people listen to it and like it, but I don't care if you like it. Because I did it my way, and I wanted to do it my way, and I successfully did it in the way I wanted to do it.
Yes, indeed.
And if you don't like it, you're lost. Sorry.
Hey, man. Awesome.
So in that sense, yeah. And I mean, it's like my baby. I never worked on anything as hard. I was like so neurotic about everything about the album, and like going up to mix with Matt Bayless, like I annoyed the shit out of him,
right?
Because I'm so like nitpicky about every little thing, right? But luckily, Matt is like a great guy and a very nice person, and also as a mixing engineer, is very nitpicky in his own way.
Gotcha.
You know. So, but yeah, incredibly like personal and meaningful.
So, my brother, what song or songs do you feel are the highlights of the album?
Yeah, for the highlights of the album, I mean, tough, you know. I love all my children equally. but the song You Done Me Wrong, the last song, I feel I really... That there's something about that one that just came together really nicely. And it's a little more, it's both like aggressive, but like a little bit meditative and sort of like choral, right? It's like a, I mean, there's like, I think at one point, in that song, there's like 60 layers of me as a chorus.
Okay,
right?
Yeah.
So and I don't know, that one's just got a specialness to it. That just worked out. I hit all the spots in that song. I don't know. It's a good album ender. That one for me is a personal highlight. Took a lot of it. I had to practice that one a lot. Like the riff, once I got it under my fingers, it was fine, right? But it took a while to work up. Like I had no idea. When I wrote it in MIDI, I had no idea how to do it.
Gotcha.
Just took a while. I started playing that song like duh, 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 duh. You know, like at that speed to be able to get it to the proper speed.
Wow.
That song, I mean, in terms of like digging the first track as well is kind of like a good example of kind of what the album is, I guess.
Right.
I do enjoy that one. That one's pretty nice. And then like the kind of the long ones are I would say standouts in terms of like prog and composition. Like, I was able to be like quite free with them,
right?
And like create a lot of like distance between beginning and ending, and play around with things. So like constantly has one of my favorite riffs that I've
100%,
ever done.
100%.
And Get Off is just like quite ridiculous. Yeah. Just went full throttle on that one. That was the hardest one to record.
Yeah,
for sure. Get Off.
I mean,
they all have like their things.
Their own, right? Yeah, their thing. Like, yeah.
I mentioned those songs, but I think I could mention any other song and come up with a good reason.
Well, I'm glad that you ended with that, right? Saying that right there, because I'd like to say I'm Rich and Constantly are my cool favorites, even though, and this is a true fact, I am the Lord and the Lord does not lie. Nelson, that is either. So I'm Rich and Constantly are my favorites, even though I believe it's a no skip album. You put it on and let it play and repeat over and over again. That's how good I think it is. I think it's an amazing body of work. I enjoyed it beyond words, man. Once again, all the sonics and the way that you did what you did, and then it's just you. It's amazing, man. The ideas that you had and how you put everything together. I just want to say that it's a great one, and I truly, truly enjoyed it. So how big was, did you have a big pool of songs, or were these just the songs? Do you have more songs? Was the pool, you know, gigantic and you just picked 11? Or was it like, hey, I did this one, boom, one, boom, two, like that?
These are basically the songs. I did have, in the first version of the demo of the full album, like before I it was all like in MIDI and stuff.
Right.
I had two other songs that didn't make it.
Okay.
But they were also kind of like never finished.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I left them to the wayside, and I just felt like they weren't quite there. They didn't quite fit. And actually the song, The Straight Line, was the last song written.
Okay.
For the album. Kind of the first and the last, because I took a riff that I had written way back, like before any of the other songs were written, but I like changed a lot. Like there was one riff that was like a good idea that I had from like some old demo that I had written probably for Necro or whatever. But I took that and like, it became very, very different. There was one initial idea. Cause I needed that 11th song. I needed another track to like really like reach the full length that I, you know, the full vibe that I wanted it to be. So there was a couple songs that were just kind of like that I stopped working on, and then The Straight Line got put in, and the song Grudge as well was kind of like a similar thing where it was a demo that I thought would be for like another project or like that I wasn't going to use. It was just like floating around. And I changed a bunch of stuff with it. Like that song went through maybe the most changes of any song.
Right.
From its initial beginnings to how it ended up on the album. So, yeah.
Tell me about this. And this is just, I'm going over to the left for a second. Some elements in there, it's like we're at a carnival. You have like a little, it just goes into like a little happy, more, you know what I'm talking about? It's just a happy vibe. I'm just like, this young man here is taking us on a true ride, man. So what's that about? Where does that come from?
To me, that's like you need a bit of, it's part of trying to get like the contrast and the variety in there, that I wanted. And like I used like some accordion stuff, which always gets like carnival-y, right? Like an accordion patch that I used. And like kind of like that comes from like, you know, the folk metal stuff that Necrogoblicon used to be, like when it first started out, was kind of like folksy. So that influence is still there. And like I always love stuff like that band Gogol Bordello. Mm-hmm. Just like the folk punk guys.
Gotcha. Okay.
That stuff was always kind of like an influence to me as well. So,
yes.
And, it's almost like video gamey, right? Like if if you reduce all the music down to like, if you played it like through an 8-bit thing,
mm-hmm.
like if you did an 8-bit version of it, it would just sound like Nintendo music, right?
Nah, it adds to it. It's like a little break in there that takes you on a little, you know, over here. So no, it's really cool, man. Just like I say, every element that you have in these songs is, they fit beautifully. So yeah. I enjoyed it. It just made me smile. You know, when I hear it, I was like, he's a wild dude.
Yeah.
So I love that.
Like, thank you. Yeah. The sound design I for the keyboards is something I really like as another thing that's like not really like what I'm super great at.
Mm-hmm.
I had these keyboards in the album, like all these different keyboard patches. And one time I showed it to someone and they were like, hey, this stuff is great, but these keyboards suck. And it was just like synth keyboards that I thought sounded cool. It had a certain vibe, but like, it kind of made me think about it twice. And that was like, you know, 2019 or something. Mm-hmm. Someone said that to me and it took a while. And like, the more I learned about production, I really found like what I actually wanted them to sound like, and how like natural versus how synthy and processed each thing should be. So yeah, learned a lot.
And listen, once again, great, 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 great. So what's the feeling like to have total control of your project? And have you ever given that control to anyone else? Like when you were in Necro, how much control did you have there? Were you just a part of the machine?
So the total control thing is like really great because you have all the control, but it's also like a little bit terrifying because you have all the control. And with like this project, you know, that was part of it. I wanted to have every part of it in hand. Mm-hmm. Like that was a point of pride that I took doing it.
Yes.
When it came to the point that I could actually kind of, that I had decided to actually do it for real.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, okay, I'm just going to do it myself. Like that's what I want it to be. And it worked. With Necro, like I did write, I did a lot of composition, but I was by no means the person who had final say.
Gotcha.
Because I didn't start the band. I joined early on.
Mm-hmm.
But the singer at the time, Nikki, was kind of like the final arbiter. Okay. Right. Because he started the band. I mean, he's not even in the band now.
Right.
It's his own thing.
Hey, it's band stuff. We know how that goes, man.
Yeah.
I've been a part of, you know, a situation like that too, you know, so I understand. So we're getting close to the end here, young man. But a question that I really have for you is what does success look like to you? Not what the world says. You know, everybody thinks we should be this and billionaires and why aren't you doing this and why aren't you this like that? But it's like, it's what it's about me. It's about what I feel and what it should be. So what does success look like to you?
I mean, to me, if we keep the focus just on the, if the focus is like disillusion or take and take, like
mm-hmm.
getting that album out is already a success. Like that's done. That's
awesome. Awesome.
With that.
Right.
In terms of just like life, general stuff, like, you just gotta like learn and grow. And I've never been a fan of money. I mean, I like to have it,
of course,
but I hate it. It sucks. I think it's the worst. I mean, but that said, like, I love to have it. It's great. Right.
Of course.
So like that's never been my focus in life to like make a bunch of money. If it was, I wouldn't be a musician probably. you know, like, I just want to live a success is living a good life and not being too much of an asshole, or if you are, at least learning from it and you know, just be decent.
Indeed.
You know, be decent. That's what we need now.
100%. As my brother Relentless from the band Vengeance in Napa, California, him and John Winters, I say this to everybody, especially when times like this, when you just spoke so beautifully about, you know, what success is to you. And as they always say, like, we need better human beings in this world. We just need people to be better human beings. Simply that, because it's not about everything else. And can we just have more good people? You know, I do my best to be the best person that I can. You know, I have empathy. I have those things. And then sometimes you just look like, man, a Lord Nelson quote, the world is not crazy. It's the people in it. And I really believe that, you know. So, yeah, man, I agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, you know, disillusion kind of points to like the modern experience as well. That's part of like the lyrical themes.
Yes.
And it's just like how can anyone be like aware of life and be happy?
Right.
You know, how do you do that?
Yeah.
How do you know like what's going on in the world and just like be like an okay person who's like positive? It's impossible.
So that's difficult. Is that difficult for you?
Oh yeah, like super difficult. Like,
really?
I don't see like, I don't see things going very well.
Really? That's it. I'm just saying, it's
like
very
in general.
Yes, in general. Well, I look at the world and I see all the craziness that goes on. Not the world, the people in it. Yeah. It's the people that are crazy. The world's been doing what it's been doing forever. But the people, the things that they do, man is something else. It really is. I mean, they really are. The human race is something else. I am a very positive person.
Oh, okay.
I am a super, super positive person. And I'm looking for the best part of everybody. You'll let me know whether you're an asshole or not soon enough. Yeah. And then I can distance myself from you. But I do give people the benefit of the doubt, you know, initially. And then I can just kind of vibe and see what kind of person they are. But I love everybody. And I think everybody loves me. And I say this, you either love me or you love to hate me, but you love me. And it's all beautiful. It's all beautiful with me. So now I do my best to be as positive as I can. I do know a lot of people who start off with negativity, and it makes me smile because I don't know how they think like that, because I want to see the great in everybody. That's just the way I was. That's just me. But I know you know, my wife always brings me to the reality, like, that's not everybody. She's like, because I used to think everybody else was the weirdo, but maybe it's me.
I mean, that is like a much mentally healthier, probably, way to exist.
Yeah.
I just find it different. I mean, and I agree with everything that you say.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. Like, I would like to get along with everyone. I think everyone has rights, and everyone deserves to live a good life.
Of course.
I will give everyone the benefit of the doubt if I, you know, as best I can. But like certain things just, I try not to pay too much attention. That's my current, that's my current strategy, is just to like keep it local, you know?
Okay.
That's the right. Like keep it local, keep it around what I can directly see, because like social media is just like,
of course, man.
Everything's terrible, right?
Yeah.
It's like, but yeah. And that's something that's like the Disillusion album kind of like struggles with a little bit.
Right.
It's like, how is it going to end up good? And I know like in human history, like our lives are more comfortable than they've ever been in many ways, depending on where you are.
Indeed.
But like, I don't know if that's necessarily like so good. Like it comes at a cost, right? Like we've messed up a lot of things here.
100%. Listen,
we'll see. I mean, I admire your positivity. That is something I can look forward to in the future.
Listen. See, now I'm looking at your backdrop. I'm looking at all what's beautiful behind you. It's serene. It's that Zen thing. And I'm like, he should have all the peace in the world, man. So when you say like keeping it local and you're doing your thing, you're controlling what's in your bubble. And I get that too. Yeah. Cause when I'm in my house and I'm the king of my castle, I'm doing what I do. And then I have to go deal with the rest of the people when I leave it. So I'm just looking at them. I don't want any problems. You know, everything's good. I don't want to be that person. Call me Cliff because I'm on the edge. You know, leave me alone. You know, but I'm like, hey, I open the door for people. I do those things like that. It's just who I am. But I don't like a whole lot of craziness. I remove myself from craziness as quick as I can because I'm like, that's not good for me. I've always felt like I've been saved from madness. You know, I haven't been put in situations where it's been too crazy. So I just do my best to just enjoy the life I've been given. The things that happen to me, I look at them as life lessons, and you learn from them. And so, I respect your perspective, and I do with everybody. I listen and I learn. And so, because there might be a gem that you give me, I'm just like, you know what?
Yeah.
That makes sense to me. I can apply that to my life. It's going to make me better. So I get it. And so I don't chastise people for what they, you know, I can laugh and clown with them like, you're a lunatic. You're this. But really, I'm paying more attention than they think I am because I want to know what's that other side that I might not see. You know, so I thank my wife a lot of times for that because we really think differently. And she's just like, well, hey, you're this kind of guy right here, but everybody just doesn't feel that way. And I was just like, I never understood it. I was just like, what do you mean? They don't feel that way. She's like, nah, it's just not like that. So let me say this quickly. I'm in a band called Plastic Catastrophe with Lord Nelson. And me and my brother, the magnificent Matt Acevedo, we did a song called Everything That I've Been Told. I now question others' lives. I bought and sold as like, anyway, it's we can question all the things that we've been told. And people have lied to us beyond what we could even understand. Not getting all political and stuff like that because I'm not that guy. But man, it's crazy. And the things that people do and greed and all those things, man, that affect all of us. So it's bananas, man.
Yeah. And it's wild, like how your perspective will change over time, too.
Right.
Like there's someone said something the other day, like your cells are constantly, you're constantly making new cells in your body.
Mm-hmm.
So like every 7 years or something, you don't have any cells from before.
Right.
Like you're completely different set of cells.
Yeah.
And like, that's just an example of like life is constant change
changing.
And constant surprise. Yes. And like, sometimes there's moments where you're just like, you make a realization or like something happens and all of a sudden you're like, okay, I really do know nothing. So, like, my opinion now is I have my own context, right? Mm-hmm. But I know nothing.
Right.
Right.
Like, no, I agree with you. I agree with you. The more we know, the more we don't know. Not one, nothing. And it's just like every time, like you say, when you're watching TV or social media, and then it's somebody always bringing up something, it's like, wow, what, who, look in the sky, look at the planets, look at whatever. But they're how many millions upon millions and light years away?
Yeah.
We know nothing. You know, everything's mathematics, but we know that. So I agree with you, my brother. I really do. So what can we expect from Take and Take for the remainder of 2024?
Okay. Remainder 2024. Just going to play some shows, keeping it local, kind of in LA area.
Gotcha.
For now, I'm putting together a live band still. Mm-hmm. I've got a couple players, but it's not a full band yet. That's the price of doing things yourself.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And then there'll be like another, you know, there'll be a couple other like, there's like another video coming.
Okay.
That'll happen. I'm going to release an instrumental version of the album.
Okay. That'll be great. Definitely.
Yeah. Basically just like for my mom, because she doesn't like screaming. So here you go, mom.
Love the moms, man. I get it.
Yeah. And other than that, just like, yeah, allow the album to be out in the world. Do a bit of writing to look forward to the next release. And
of course.
No one will see that this year, but
okay.
Yeah.
I know. Hey, love. But what you gotta do is get your brother and your mom. You gotta have your mom on there with a solo, something beautiful. You know, just let her go. Just let her go wild. Yeah. That'd be let mom do her thing, man. You gotta say, like, mom, you know what? I need something from you. I mean, it'd be a beautiful thing, man. It probably touch you more than you know, man. Mom on there with a piano idea. Solo.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah, it did. So, my last question. No, excuse me. Not my last question. I have two things left. Why is Take and Take a must watch and listen?
A must watch what?
A must watch and listen. I want you to get on your soapbox.
A must and watch
and let everybody listen. Know why you are that guy.
I mean, like, if you want to hear something that is truly authentic and personal and about the human experience and about humans' inner life and outer life, and that is something that is took a lot of time and finally crafted and thought about creation, like carved out of the ether.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to Take and Take. Okay. That's what I would say. It's an authentic experience that's not, it's not going to lie to you. It's not trying to sell you something.
Right.
You know, ironically, I'm selling it to people here, but like, it's not trying to do that. Like, right. It exists and you can hear it and appreciate it if you wish. And it is going to, I mean, hopefully it's, I think it is an album that you can listen to many times and find new things about. And, you know, it will, there's certain music that you'll always go back to.
Yes.
Right. And I hope that this is one of those things. This is one of those albums for people, because I worked hard on it. So
I believe you have that, being completely transparent and honest. I love it. I think it's amazing. And I thank you for what you created, man. You did a great job with this one. I really, really mean that. And so my last question is, what's the last song you listened to?
The last song I listened to?
Mm-hmm.
The last song I listened to. Well, it's a two-part answer, because the last song I listened to is a song that I'm mixing for a friend's band called Vile Life.
Okay.
But no one can hear that yet.
Right.
So the last song I listened to that people could hear, I guess, would be this band OU. They're a band that comes out of China.
Mm-hmm.
Like a progressive metal with a female vocalist.
Okay.
Really, really interesting compositions.
Yeah.
Pretty unique stuff. Their forthcoming album is produced by Devin Townsend.
Yeah.
Pretty unique stuff. Really interested to hear that full album. They put out two singles.
Got you. OU.
OU. Yeah.
And see, I always like to ask that question because you never know what creatives are listening to. And, you know, we're not just this or that. I know I listen to so much stuff. It's just amazing. So that's why I always like to ask that question of my guests. And usually it's something different, you know.
I was also listening to the other day this band Earthquake Lights. It's like an indie band with like a lot of like string arrangements. And they got put on a Wolfpack album. Like Wolfpack like produced the song or something, or they just like put it on their album.
Right.
At the last track. It's called Off and Away. Came out a few years ago now. Man, great song.
Well, those things are like when you give me those, you know, I'm going to go out there and listen and check them out.
Yeah, check them out.
Yeah, like, indeed. Really, that's why I asked the question also. Yeah.
Really calm, but sort of moving stuff, you know, like not harsh like the way metal is, you know.
I got you. Well, the last thing is, the floor is yours, my brother. Is there anything you want to say? Let the people know where they can get in touch with you, peep you out, you know, whatever you want to say. You want to talk about spaceships? You want to talk about surfboards? You want to talk about the birds singing in the background of the beautiful scenery? Whatever, man. The floor is yours.
I'm very lucky to be in this place.
Blessed,
my dad's a botanist. So.
Is he? I can see that. I thought I saw Pops walking back there, you know, chilling. Yeah, I was going to say, like, hey, yeah, awesome. There. He made it. It's good. It's love.
That's his work, you know.
Yeah.
But I guess last, I just shout out, like, give a shout out to all the, like, projects and bands that I'm sort of, like, working on and working with. So, like, I've got a punk band called Last Leg.
Mm.
We do a bunch of shows in the LA area.
Yeah.
Working with that band Vile Life, which has a lot of the same members, kind of like a brutal hardcore band, really cool stuff. Shout out to a lady named Isaac, who's the keyboardist.
Okay.
Their project, really interesting, like avant-garde chamber music, shoegazy emo stuff. Hey, but it was really just interesting.
Just the name takes you on a trip.
Yeah. Shout out to Eddie Spaghetti and the Selfish Bitches, which is my other dumb project. If you want to hear dumb stuff.
I don't call it dumb, man. It's real. You're just doing you, man.
The Wailing Coast, which was my band when I lived in China. I played in this band called The Wailing Coast. Really cool. Love those guys.
Right.
Shout out to Grudgebot, who's our bassist's other band, does like old school thrash type stuff. Really fun.
Yeah.
And I've got, if you search, if you want something completely different, I put out a song called Bread with an exclamation point. That's like the first release for my kids album that I'm doing.
A kid's on bread, okay?
Yeah.
Well, you're busy, man. Come on,
busy,
man.
Yeah, keep him busy. So, yeah, check all that stuff out. And also, thank you very much for having me on. It's man, been a love, blast.
Man. No, yeah, no. This is, once again, I always tell everybody, want to have a conversation. Yeah, we're going to ask questions. Less of an interview. I want you to feel comfortable and just have a good time, because I know I'm having a good time. I have a good time because I enjoy this. My wife always said I like to run my mouth. I do, but I like to listen also, because it's everything is like a movie to me. I am so super visual. I say it all the time. So just like when you said that, hey, I did this with a, what did you say, Whalen Coast? You know, with a China. So now you visually, I went to China and I'm just looking. I don't know what it looks like, but I know what it looks like to me. So I'm just seeing some Chinese guys, some Asian guys doing their thing, and you're with them doing whatever. So that's just what I came up in my mind. I see everything. So no matter what you're talking about, I see it. And sometimes it's a gift and a curse. It can be bad, but hey, man. But once again, thank you very, very much. Honored to have you. An amazing album. And yeah, I believe people are going to really, really enjoy this, man. And if they haven't heard it yet, they should really take it and sit with it and drive with it and whatever they need to do, because it's truly that enjoyable. So I really appreciate you, my brother.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yes, indeed. So ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's the big guy with the big show, the Lord.
Yeah.
Nelson, that is, for the podcast Live and Loud with the Lord on the CMS Network with Five Royals Entertainment. And this young man right here, this young man, almost as handsome as I am. You know, his beard might be a little bit, you know, he's got a coolness to him, man. You know, the background, the botanist, all this thing is love. This young man, Mr. Eddie Traeger from Take and Take, man. Thank you so much, my brother. I really appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right, my brother. Once again, I didn't get to mention it, but Shauna O'Donnell, amazing.
She's great.
She's amazing, and just always, you know, always want to thank her, man. So thank you very much, and the door's open. Anytime you want to come back, come on and enjoy yourself, man. You don't have to knock. Just come on in. We're good to go.
All right, thank you.
All right, man, I appreciate
Shauna's you. So good. It's been so nice to work with
Thank
her.
You very much, yeah. man. Enjoy yeah. yourself, and look forward to talking to you whenever, my brother.
All right.
Love the album. Thanks, great album. Great album. Yes, it is. All right, man, be good.
You too.
All right, peace.
The most exciting and most talked about show today is Chris Aiken Presents. If you like great interviews, real road stories, and more, then Chris Aiken, Eric Ferrantinos, and their cast of characters have the show that you need to watch. Catch the show live on Monday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern at ChrisAiken.net, CMS TV, Wowza TV, Rumble, and X. There's always lunacy happening on Chris Aiken Presents.